Geek Radio Daily for Not Monday.
And on that nonsensical tripe and... I was going to say slothiness, but I don't think that's actually a word. Unless, of course, that's what you have to... the state of mind you have to get into to do the truffle shuffle appropriately. Welcome, everybody, to the 11th of January. I still keep wanting to say December, just like you're still writing on your checks. But at least we don't have to say the year, so that's good. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man ready to tell you how he spent his Christmas and the way he thinks everybody should, that there's podcasting, Rich Siegfried.
Like you say, a little spank here and there ain't gonna hurt
you. Oh, wait, no. It was a good time at the... Hi, everyone. I'm the guy just trying to maintain. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
That's all there is to it. What happened, sir?
In 1898... A.E. Keith and the brothers John and Charles Erickson, employees of Allman Stauger, receive a patent for the rotary dial.
1902, Popular Mechanics magazine is published for the first time. It has 5 paying subscribers and will be purchased by a few hundred newsstand customers at a nickel a copy.
1935, Amelia Earhart takes off from Honolulu to become the first person to fly solo between Hawaii and California. She will land in Oakland the next day.
1960, the ACM/GAMM committee is convened with the mission of developing the first block-structured programming language, ALGOL 60, the algorithmic language, which will be the predecessor of the Pascal programming language.
Pedro?
I can program you warm or I can program you cold.
1973, the United Kingdom's Open University grants its first degrees to students whose curriculum consists in part of courses transmitted over radio and television.
1974, a trucker known only as Large Marge dies in a car accident that is described as the worst anyone had ever seen.
1984, in the dead of night, the ghost of Large Marge drops off a hitchhiking Pee-wee Herman at a truck stop diner where he meets the waitress Simone.
Ah, oh, Simone. Same day, same year, the Apple Macintosh, the first consumer computer to popularize the computer mouse and the graphical user interface, is introduced during Super Bowl XVIII with the famous 1984 television commercial.
2000, Dave Weiner first demonstrates the RSS enclosure with a Grateful Dead song in his Scripting News weblog newsfeed. The feature is a new functionality in RSS 0.92, which of course shepherds in podcasting.
Same day, same year, construction of the first segment of the China-U.S. cable network, the first undersea fiber optic cable network between China and the U.S., will carry data, video, voice traffic directly between 2 points in China, Chongmong, Shantou, and 2 points in the U.S., Bandon, Oregon, and San Luis Obispo, California, at 80 gigs a second.
2001, America Online and Time Warner complete their merger to form AOL Time Warner after receiving final approval from the FTC.
Same day, same year, researchers in Oregon announced having successfully produced the first monkey genetically altered to contain a jellyfish gene for fluorescent glowing monkeys.
Damn yous! Damn yous all to hell! 2007, China destroys its Fengyun 1C weather satellite, launched in 1999, with a ballistic missile 537 miles above the Earth. The impact creates about 28% of the junk currently in orbit around the Earth. The U.S. halted such tests in 1985 for fear of creating such debris.
Same day, same year, an episode of The Real Housewives of Orange County becomes the first complete television program to ever be legally posted to YouTube just 4 days before the premiere of the series' second season. Birthdays?
Matt Mullenweg is 38. Co-created WordPress.
Thanks,
before it was
dude.
Ruined by Gutenberg.
Oh, that's true. Rockman Dunbar is 49, which is a great name. Earth 2, Prison Break, Sons of Anarchy.
Amanda Peet is 50, from Jack and Jill, Whole Nine Yards, Identity, X-Files, I Want to Believe.
Kim Coles is 60, from In Living Color and Living Single. She's all about the living.
Wednesday, no longer with us, in 1872, G.W. Pierce invented the single-stage crystal oscillator circuit, which became the touchstone for the electronics communication art.
1885, Alice Paul, American suffragist, feminist, and women's rights activist, and the main leader and strategist of the 1910s campaign for the 19th Amendment. So, that is who the f*** is Alice.
Oh, I thought she made guitars. Oh, that's a Les Paul. 1908, Lionel Stander, from 1941, and Cup in the Transformers movie, which did not come out in 1941.
Did not. 1912, Don Red Barry, from Frankenstein 1970, Orca, and Dr. Dracula.
Not Dr. Acula?
No, right? They missed such a great moment there.
On CBS, we've got a new FBI and an FBI International.
ABC has The Bachelorette and The Women Remember the Beginning Stages of Their Friendship in the early 1990s when a young Brianna, Nayanne, and Jill first met and became in prayer and whatever. It's New Queens. I don't care.
NBC has a new American Auto, a new Grand Crew, new This Is Us, and Helen takes the lead at NHS Hampstead Hospital. Max gets creative. Reynolds comes to a decision about Dr. Malvo. Iggy and Bloom help their patients realize the cause of their stress, and Dr. Wilder utilizes some unconventional methods on a doctor show? The hell you say on a new Amsterdam.
Over at Fox, at Bid Week, Angela finds herself closer than ever to her goals. Teddy confronts Leah about the night Eve was arrested. Raymond struggles to get Jack's Darman shares away from Teddy while still covering for Olivia. Piggy comes clean to Tyreek on a new Our Kind of People.
CW has new Superman and Lois, and Lois and Clark struggle as a couple following the surprising, the words are repeated, it confused me, and the surprising outcome of the confrontation between Kal Rowe and Superman. Christy adapts to running the Smallville Gazette with Lois, and secrets put Jordan and Sarah's blossoming relationship in jeopardy. And the new Naomi.
No. Apparently, I don't remember exactly how to write these things. AMC has gone in 60 seconds.
Oh, those were two separate. Okay, gotcha. FX has Transformers, The Last Night.
FXX Simpsons, Marge versus the Monorail, and Selma's Choice.
FXM has Hidden Figures.
Sci-Fi Channel, pop star Demi Lovato wonders if an out-of-body experience was an alien abduction and investigates the incident and has hypnosis to find the truth with her best friend and sister on Unidentified with Demi Lovato. But we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman realizes her life is in danger after becoming intoxicated at a party and getting into a rideshare car with a driver who has planned to kill her and sell her organs on the black market. Sheila Sterling and Nicole Danielle Watt star in A Party Gone Wrong, you think?
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Chad's former partner, Stefan, who's a drunk and living on the streets, thinks he saw a murder, and he seeks help. Abe's upset Chad's taking him seriously because he thinks Stefan is a disgrace. Then Chad reveals that Stefan just may have given them a lead on some kidnappers who have been kidnapping people all over the country and then killing the victims. So Abe says solve it. Even if the case doesn't fit into a 9-to-5 day, then this ladies man introduces Big John, Little John, hashtag Chabby, forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
But of course we do. Hey geeks, this is about your 16 December episode. I remember enjoying Night Gallery, mostly. I don't remember it back then. I'd seen some of the original Twilight Zones for comparison. Love your CERN jokes. And hey, because my dad was Air Force and Air Guard, I always knew what NORAD stands for. Google says Cheyenne Mountain initial construction was from 18 May 1961 through 8 February 1966. That took a while. The advance in computer speeds chronicled in Wikipedia among supercomputers went from 3 megaflops in 64 to 1,000 megaflops in 66. Google says Cheyenne Mountain computer system cost $142.4 million in 1967, which would be like $695 million in $98. Given the increase in computer power, even if the upgrade cost $2 billion, it was buying over 300 times the computational power. And that's not even considering advances in software, which I know I never do. Please, don't throw big numbers around without the proper context that $2 billion helped buy the world another 23 years without World War. No, just police actions. Also, I need to get to work before listening to the rest of the episode. Sorry, stay safe. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, I'm sorry. I was also under the impression that there would be no math involved.
Math is hard. Let's go shopping.
Oh, that was a fun time indeed. If you've got something you'd like to say, by all means, won't you drop us a note? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You can tell us in voicemail or by text message, which we haven't had either of this year so far. Huh? Send that to the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CROW.
Oh, hey, and the Cinema Mistress has like the top 10 films for 2021 because she's been putting out episode after episode while we've been slackers.
True.
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week, written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Hey guys, it's Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. And if you ever get a chance to just talk to Jason David Frank for like 5-10 minutes, oh my God,
That guy is the most positive, upbeat. He will bring you into a much better mood about anything that you're feeling.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
But you still buy them. What's on the shelves or nobody on our shelves today?
Well, in our TV aisle, we've got Billions, Season 5.
There's only been five? Ren and Stimpy, the almost complete collection. And if you're an old school fan, you know which one's missing.
In fairness, I really should have put that in classic TV. We've also got Cobra Kai, Season 3.
Wait, didn't I just watch Season 4? Must be anime based on title alone, Heaven's Lost Property, the movie, Eternally My Master. Oh, wait, that might be something else.
In our re-release aisle, we've got Basket Case, 1982.
The Great Escape in 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray.
We've also got Juice.
Vampire Hunter D, which is just awesome.
True. Go to Hell and Turn Left.
Could be porn? Women's Extreme Wrestling, Bloody Ho Ambush.
And we've also got The Pink Jungle. All right, it's classier than it sounds. It's got James Garner and George Kennedy. Come on.
It sounds like the name of a bar. Movies, we have Halloween Kills.
We've also got Mass.
Heart of Champions.
Spencer!
Bitchin', the sound and fury of Rick James, bitch!
We also have Dune. God, that was so good.
Oh, I do love David Lynch. But we're probably going to get the story of a chemical blast at a military base that sets off a supernatural disaster in a tense action horror thriller. As Sergeant Dash tries to keep the peace at the local police station, the explosion unleashes a toxic acid rain. No, this is not a sequel to Return of the Living Dead, but Mike Ferguson, Brian Clark, and Kelly Lynn Ryder star in Amityville Uprising.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. A Redditor has highlighted that it's possible to join FaceTime calls from their TV using an Xbox, a feature not possible on the Apple TV. User U/Javante Avins explained how they are able to make FaceTime calls on their TV using an Xbox. You set up a Logitech C930 webcam, connect to an Xbox Series S, and then join a FaceTime call. You open Microsoft Edge on the Xbox, navigate to the email, and open the email with FaceTime's link.
Great, just what I need. My sexuality questioned via FaceTime while I play COD.
The setup is theoretically possible from any device with Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge installed thanks to FaceTime Links. Apple introduced FaceTime Links with iOS 15, iPad OS 15, and Mac OS Monterey last year, providing a way for users of non-Apple devices such as Android smartphones and Windows PCs to join FaceTime calls easily with no need for a dedicated app.
As opposed to using one of the dozens of apps that can do video calls?
Those are different. Since Apple TV does not have a FaceTime app, additional ports to connect a camera or a browser to FaceTime links, Apple's own TV device is completely unable to make FaceTime calls on a TV. The only option available to Apple TV users is to AirPlay a FaceTime call from another device, but the video feed will still be streamed from the host device's camera.
Ooh, better be careful what you're watching.
After discontinuing the HomePod in 2021, multiple reports claim that Apple was working on a combined Apple TV and HomePod device that could feature a camera to support FaceTime calls. To sum up, there is no escape from these relatives that want to share the latest colonoscopy news from their neighbors, your boss wanting to share the new PowerPoint trends, or just random telemarketers, all while you're trying to vibe out to Cyberpunk 2077 and have sex with Keanu Reeves.
Ming-Na Wen comes to Tamara Morrison's rescue when he gets in danger of spoiling big scenes when they do press for the Book of Boba Fett. Now, of course, they're done being semi-heroes. Fett and Fennec have returned to Tatooine with one goal: taking over Jabba the Hutt's criminal empire. So far, the Book of Boba Fett has tracked their early attempts at staking their claims on Tatooine's underbelly, and it's also provided some answers about how Fett survived his encounter with the Sarlacc in Return of the Jedi. Overall, the new show is a surprisingly understated Star Wars project, though there could be much more excitement ahead.
Don't worry, this story won't contain spoilers, right?
Well, this is all stuff that we know already. Now, Wen and Morrison recently sat down with ET Canada to promote the Book of Boba Fett. After Wen explained how she had a tendency to nerd out on set, Morrison picked up the conversation and started alluding to a scene. When we're on that... He didn't get much further than that, though, as Wen quickly intervened by waving her hands and making warning noises. Is that in The Mandalorian? She asked, clearly nervous about whatever Morrison was about to say.
As long as he doesn't say anything dumb, he's going to be fine.
Perhaps even more than most. The Book of Boba Fett has kept its cards close to its vest. Before the series premiered, director Robert Rodriguez explained the trailers were so vague because of a major plot twist in the first episode. Viewers were a bit confused when nothing of the sort took place, but the Book of Boba Fett still has 5 episodes to go. But then again, maybe that's the best way to deal with potential spoilers. Just make wacky things up. Like Thrawn appearing in the series? The final villain reveal of Darth Jar Jar? Or that blue milk comes from boy banthas?
Yeah, that's better. After many years of speculation, a film adaptation of Uncharted is finally making its way to theaters this February and stars Tom Holland as the legendary Nathan Drake.
Look, I don't think it's good casting, but I look forward to seeing it and being proven wrong.
He's no Nathan Fillion. The actor has found much prominence thanks to his role as the friendly neighborhood webhead in the MCU, and while Holland himself is generally a down-to-earth guy that doesn't allow all the success to get to him, he's apparently feeling confident enough to challenge Tom Cruise on his words. The star of Uncharted recently found himself on the cover of this month's issue of Total Film, where he got into a nitty-gritty of bringing Nathan Drake to life on the big screen.
Challenge Tom Cruise? Are we looking at a Tom-off?
At one point, Holland praised the adaptation's ambition and claimed Uncharted was the film that actually brought the industry back after the COVID-19 pandemic, not Cruise's 7th Mission Impossible outing. I really believe in the project. I believe in the work we've done, and I'm very proud of how hard everyone worked. We also made this film at the height of COVID. I know Tom Cruise loves to say that he brought the film industry back, but he forgot about this little film called Uncharted that was shooting 4 months before he was. So I'm just very proud of what we've done. And if we're lucky enough to do it again, it would really be exciting. We've only scratched the surface of what Drake and Sully can do.
Ooh.
In Holland's defense, Cruise does like to boast about the fact that he was one of the few producers who continued to work during the outbreak of the deadly disease. He even famously got into a screaming match with one of his employees because they apparently undermined healthcare protocols. Now, I don't think Tom would have an issue after hearing what Tom said. After all, I doubt it's possible for Tom to be able to keep track of what every Tom is working on, whether it's Holland, Hiddleston, Hardy, or Hanks. And he's not even polite enough to give a thought to Smothers, let alone every Dick and Harry.
From appearing in the Asterix comic book series to inspiring an avatar on The Masked Singer, Vikings have revealed themselves across pop culture, sporting horned helmets to symbolize their ferocity and power.
And their place to store snacks.
However, 2 horned helmets, first discovered in Viksjö, Denmark, have been traced back to Sardinia in the Bronze Age, dispelling myths that they originated from the Viking era, according to research published in the historical journal Prehistorische Zeitschrift in December. For many years in popular culture, people associated the Viksjö helmets with the Vikings, said Helle Vankild, an archaeologist at Aarhus University in Denmark, who was involved in the research, in a press statement sent to CNN. But our research confirms that the helmets were deposited in the bog about 900 BC, almost 3,000 years ago, and many centuries before the Vikings or Norse dominated the region.
Damn time travelers!
Similar horned helmet imagery has been identified from the Bronze Age in Sardinia, southwestern Iberia, and southern Scandinavia, according to the study. During the Bronze Age in Sardinia, symbols of horned creatures such as bulls had religious significance and were often used to decorate Neolithic tombs. The horned helmet motif is linked to Iberia through the expansion of Phoenician society in the West, the research suggests.
I mean, did they take them from people, or were they dating in the horned helmets the equivalent of a Bronze Age hoodie?
Our study shows that Scandinavian depictions of horned warriors occurred at the same time as very similar images in Sardinian southwestern Spain. This testifies to the tight connections between the great civilization of Bronze Age Europe, the first globalization based on long-distance trade in metals, ideas, and luxuries. The horned warriors in Scandinavia, Sardinia, and Spain all associate with new political regimes backed by control of metals and new religious beliefs. Now, the beautiful thing about learning new cultural histories is the wealth of knowledge that comes with it. And let's face it, right now, thanks to the events of a year ago, the horned helmet could use the press.
90 Day Fiancé stars often have side hustles for additional income beyond their paychecks from the franchise, but Stephanie Matto's latest successful venture was a bit stranger than most. She began selling her own flatulence in jars weeks ago and allegedly turned a considerable profit doing so.
Oh, why do we even bother?
I mean, we have an endless supply. Stephanie Amato retired from her successful but stinky gig after she passed gas one too many times and got the wind knocked out of her, she said. She feared she had symptoms of a stroke or a heart attack and had a friend take her to the hospital. And after a barrage of testing, including an EKG and blood work, she learned her issues were related to the diet of beans and eggs to increase her farts.
Oh, that's not healthy at all.
I could tell that something was not right that evening when I was lying in bed and I could feel pressure in my stomach moving upward. It was quite hard to breathe. And every time I tried to breathe, I'd feel a pinching sensation around my heart. It was made clear that I was experiencing wasn't a stroke or heart attack, but very intense gas pains. And I thought I was having a stroke and that these were my final moments. I was overdoing it.
Well, we've all been there.
Overdoing it may be an understatement when it comes to Stephanie Amato's fart-selling business. The star of 90 Day, The Single Life, allegedly farted in 50 jars a week in order to keep up with the demand for her jars. She sold each jar for $100 and had amassed somewhere about $100,000 in mid-December. And at the time of her alleged retirement, she walked away with about $200,000 in profit.
What are we doing with our lives? More importantly, if you bought these, what are you doing with... your life?
I don't even want to know. The cash for farts may be gone, but Stephanie Amato is still making moves to bring in cash on the side. She's currently working on a digital fart jar artwork, which sounds something kind of NFT related, and she'll also invest in some of her money in cryptocurrency. And this may be frustrating for those of us who attempt to create art, but her moving into NFTs and cryptocurrency, they're on brand. After all, what is anything crypto related? But farts in the wind. GRD is licensed in the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0. License for checks on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com.
We work hard to do this shit. She sells farts in a jar and makes $100K.
I heard for $50 she'd send you a message that just says, pull my finger. Hey, why don't you send us a note? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or of course a voicemail, a text message. Either one of those would be fantastical. All you'd have to do is use the magic numbers of
510-GRD.
Stop proving Thanos was right.
Creeps like you should be in a cage.
What the hell are you still doing here?
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
Oh, my God, look at this place. It's like a museum of failure.
Thanks for stopping.
Some night, huh?
On this very night, 10 years ago, along the same stretch of road, in a dense fog, just like this, I saw the worst accident I ever seen. There was this sound, like a garbage truck dropped off the Empire State Building. And when they finally pulled the driver's body from the twisted, burning wreck, it looked like this. Yes, sir. That was the worst accident I ever seen.
I get off right up here.
Have a nice day.
Be sure and tell them Large Marge sent you.